Hi guys, welcome back to Making a Dietitian. This is episode 4 and this is actually our first student session, and today we're going to be talking about macros or macronutrients. I do have my roommate here with me, Taylor Prangy.
Hi y'all.
She has absolutely no nutritional knowledge, so I thought it would be good to have someone on here just to kind of be someone to ask questions for those who also don't have any background in nutrition. So we're gonna get started. Also, just to let you know, we have like 3 animals running around at the moment and 2 of them are new. So if you hear any of us like say a name or hear something going on in the background, that's what it is. Just a warning. So like I said, we're gonna be talking about macros today, and I just wanna preface this with, you know, all recommended nutrient intakes of a client is dependent on the client's goals and health needs. No people are going to need the exact same diet recommendations. So whenever you're recommending a diet, do not just, you know, copy and paste the same thing to every person. Also, this is simply an overview of macronutrients to use as a reference. There's a lot of information that I'm not going to be including, so please do not use this as like your sole source for anything. Also, just don't use me as a resource. I don't have any credentials yet. This is just
still can. It's a podcast. You can reference that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you can reference it. I don't know if, you know, how credible people are gonna think this is, but until I have some credentials behind
my
name.
Bachelor's in.
Yeah, I have a bachelor's.
It's pretty
credential.
Whatever that word is.
Pretty credentialed. Yeah. There's no RD next to my name yet, so just a warning. So first, we're going to talk about carbs or carbohydrates. This is your body's first and favorite form of fuel. I know that a lot of times people, you know, give carbs a bad rap. They're like, oh, you know, don't eat carbs or go on a low-carb diet. Please don't recommend that unless, you know, you've done, like, extensive research and you know what's going on and they absolutely need one, because your body loves carbs, and they're just such an easy fuel for your body. Oh my gosh. So overall, for any nutrient, you know, if you're eating it in excess, it's going to cause issues. Just be aware of that to begin with.
Can you back up like 5 feet? No, stop it. What is a macro? What even is a macro?
A macronutrient is your carbs, proteins, and fats. It's what fuels your body.
Love to say it. Okay, thank you.
Because you also have your micronutrients.
What is happening over there?
They're good. They're okay.
Okay. You also have your micronutrients, which are just, they don't offer any fuel for your body, but they help your body in different ways. So okay, those are the differences. All right,
got it.
So, the important roles of carbs is basically just providing energy, protecting against disease, and controlling weight. I am going to put my links in the show notes for everyone. So if you want to go back and research this on your own, I'm going to have links for each of the macros underneath in the show notes, just for some extra information. And because we always cite our sources, always remember that. So some basic information about carbs. It's in all sorts of food, whether it's a starch, a vegetable, your dairy products, or your fruit. The only foods that are not going to contain any carbs are going to be your proteins and fats, unless, you know, you're cooking with something extra. So, acceptable micronutrient distribution range for carbs is 45 to 65% of your daily calories.
So, 60% of your calorie intake for the day, or caloric intake for the day, should be carbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, carbs contain 4 calories for every gram. So if you do the math, you know, if you consume 12 grams of carbs in some food, you're just going to multiply that by 4, and it's going to be 48 calories. So if you end up getting your calorie range for the day.
They explain that really not like that in Bio 101. That's helpful.
Very, very, very simple. So if I was consuming 2,000 calories a day, you would just do the math backwards, basically, and I would say, oh, I had, you know, this many calories, I had this many carbs for the day. You could multiply, you know, how many carbs you had for the day times 4, and then divide that by your whole total calorie count and get your percent of carbs for the day. So it's pretty simplified, considering that each food whether it's a starch, vegetable, dairy product, or protein, contain more than one macronutrient group. So the only one that doesn't contain multiple macro groups is fruits and fats. So fruits are just carbs. But if you're looking at a vegetable, you're going to have a little bit of carb in there, but you're also going to have a little bit of protein. Really, you can look that up. I mean, if you're looking at it, like a vegetable is typically, I think, 25 calories, 5 grams of carbs, and 2 grams of protein, I'm pretty sure. So each food is going to have a specific range, and it just depends on how many grams of that vegetable you're eating or that food you're eating, and then you can multiply it as needed. So I'm not going to go super in-depth about the chemical makeup of your carbs, but they're split into two groups, and it's going to be your monosaccharides and your polysaccharides. Basically, if I go any further in-depth than what I'm going to say, it's just going to get confusing, and they do explain this in, like, Bio 101. You're also going to get this if you take a nutrition class as well. So your monosaccharides and disaccharides, they're your simple sugars. It's really what we recommend you don't eat a lot of. Like, we have a bowl of mints out in front of us, and that is just pure sugar. They're literally, like, 20 calories a mint, which is...
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a lot.
We each eat probably, like, 15 a day.
Yeah, we stay stocked on these.
We buy, like, bags every week of these mints.
It's really not healthy, but, you know... We really like them.
I'm not going to stop.
So examples of your simple sugars are going to be glucose, fructose, and galactose as your monosaccharides. And then you have sucrose, lactose, and maltose as your disaccharides. So sucrose, lactose, and maltose are each going to be made of 2 monosaccharides. I do have notes on which ones those are, but for the importance of this podcast, I don't really think it's important for me to be like, oh, maltose is made of this monosaccharide and this monosaccharide, because I don't remember them at the moment. So we really do want to recommend a diet that is low in simple sugars, because they cause a quick rise in your blood glucose levels, and since they're, like, digested and absorbed so quickly, and that's going to cause a really... fast release of insulin, and if that continues over time, it's just really not good for your body. So, you know, recommend a diet low in simple sugars. On the opposite end, you have polysaccharides, and these are complex carbs or starches. So these carbs take longer to break down in the body, resulting in a lower glycemic index. It is recommended that people consume more complex carbs than simple sugars by consuming whole grain foods such as whole grain breads and pastas. Legumes, beans, peas, and lentils are also a healthy source of complex carbs that many people do not include in their diet.
For those of you that do not know, a lentil is a pea, or a pea is a lentil.
Yeah. Taylor did not know this. I made a soup the other day, and I don't think anyone in the house knew what it was.
I eat peas regularly, and she's like, we're making lentils. And I was like, I'm not eating that. And she said, it's a pea. And I said, okay. And I ate it, and it was good.
The other very important group of carbs is fiber, and I know you hear all about fiber, and honestly, fiber is so, so important to your diet. You want to be consuming it, no matter what, you know, if you're suffering from a disease, a chronic disease, or anything, fiber will help you. Fiber is amazing and phenomenal, so unless you have, like, a specific type of, like, digestive system problem, a lot of times fiber is going to be recommended for everything. It's so good. It's so good for you. And chances are you are not even close to consuming the amount of fiber that you need to be consuming. So you really, really want to be doing that. There's a lot of good foods out there for fiber. You just... Is she okay?
She's trying to climb up the fireplace.
Yeah, my lizard is trying to climb up the fireplace at the moment. So... That's interesting. If you hear it in the background, that's what it is. But that's what we have about carbs. Do you have any questions?
I don't think anything yet. Like, right at this very moment, no.
Okay. So now we're going to go into fats. And again, fats are not the bad guy. So consuming fats is not going to make you fat. That's not how it works. That's not how food works. if you are consuming things in excess, whether it's carbs, fats, or protein, yes, you're going to gain excess weight because that's what happens when you consume excess amount of calories. But consuming fats is not going to make you fat. So just please, please remember that. Everything is good in moderation. Fats are absolutely necessary in protecting the body. They are a good fuel source during long workouts. So if you're going to the gym for an extended amount of time, past like 20 minutes, your body's going to switch over and start burning fats instead of carbs. So please remember that, you know, you can consume fats. So it's good for your body. And it assists your body in absorbing essential micronutrients, which are going to be your fat-soluble vitamins, which is what we're going to talk about in the next episode. So the basic information about fats, again, fats are in other food groups such as starches, dairy, protein, and of course fats. Your fruits and vegetables do not contain fats, but if you're cooking them in something like butter or vegetable oil or olive oil, you know, that's going to be fats right there. The acceptable micro distribution range for fats is 20 to 35% of your daily calories. And fats give a whopping 9 calories per gram. So if you are consuming 12 grams of fat, you would be consuming 108 calories. So fats are also split into two main categories of saturated and unsaturated fatty acids. Your saturated fats raise your low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, which is your bad cholesterol, and it leads to an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease as plaque builds up in your cardiovascular system. So sources of saturated fats include animal fat, coconut oil, and most other fats that you're going to be solid at room temperature. Yeah, so like your bacon grease that you're sitting there cooking with, that's saturated fat, and honestly, that freaks me out. Really kind of gross.
So wait, that's saturated?
Yeah.
So unsaturated is the one you're supposed to like eat?
It means that, yeah, it's healthier. Okay. You can consume saturated fats, well, like, yeah, butter and everything. I thought
like one was like better than the other.
Yeah, yeah, your unsaturated fats are going to be better for you.
Gotcha.
So anything that's solid at room temperature that you think might be a fat, it's a saturated fat. It's not like the best for you. Obviously, you can consume it in moderation. Things like butter and everything. Like I cook with butter, so it's not gonna like hurt you. Just be mindful of how much you're consuming.
Just don't eat a stick of butter with every meal.
Yeah, yeah, definitely don't do that. And then, so saturated fats, like I just said, can be consumed in moderation, but it's recommended to keep your intake of saturated fats below 6% of your total calorie intake for the day. That is pretty low, especially considering, like I said earlier, that you're getting 9 calories per gram of fat. So if you're trying to stay below your 6% of your calorie intake for the day, you just really want to be mindful of how much you're consuming and make sure that your portions are correct. Guys, portion control is very, very difficult, especially just looking at something, especially fats. You know, 2 tablespoons of salad dressing it's usually not how much you put on a salad, to be honest. I mean, I don't. I usually put on a lot more. So, on the other hand, you have your unsaturated fats, which are further categorized into mono and polyunsaturated fatty acids, which is like a whole thing. We just call them MUFAs and PUFAs. For short.
I'm sorry, what?
MUFA is your mono unsaturated.
It's like a dietetics major thing, so I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's what we teach in class. Just for like a short abbreviation.
Okay.
Yeah, so eating a diet high in unsaturated fats has proven to improve your blood cholesterol by raising your high density lipoprotein cholesterol, or just like your good cholesterol, and lowering your bad cholesterol. There's also evidence that consuming a diet high in unsaturated fats can lead to a decreased risk of developing type 2 diabetes. So that's a good plus. It's recommended that you attempt to consume twice as much MUFAs as PUFAs. Because your monounsaturated fatty acids are going to decrease inflammation in the body, and your PUFAs, such as omega-6s, can lead to inflammation in the body. So good sources of unsaturated fatty acids include you know, your liquids at room temperature. So your olive oil, canola oil, and other oils that, you know, are typically found in your pantries that are solid or are liquid at room temperature are good. And then you also have things such as fish, nuts, and seeds, which are a good plant. I mean, not fish, but the nuts and seeds are a good plant source of omega-3s. So any questions about those? And then lastly, we have proteins. So I know a lot of people are like big on the high protein diets, you know, or the, we also have keto, and I know I'm going to have to do an episode on fad diets because that's like a whole, that's a whole thing. High protein diets aren't, they just put such a strain on your kidneys. Let me just say that. I'll say that for now, and then we'll talk about it later. Your daily, like, recommended calorie intake coming from proteins is 10 to 35% of your intake. So,
that seems like people eat, like, they push to, like, eat more than that.
Yeah. Which,
interesting. He just, or she's just,
she's what? In the,
stop. She's in the fireplace, but y'all, it's not lit. It's okay. She's just, she's just exploring.
As long as there's not, like, soot in there.
There's not. I don't think it's been lit in so long. Okay. I think it's a gas fireplace. It's not really lit. Oh,
okay. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Americans typically consume plenty of protein throughout the day. We here don't. I know I have listeners who are not from America, but I know here in America, it's very hard to, like, not consume the amount of protein you need in a day, just from, like, our typical diets. So, which 10 to 35% is a very large range. It's very different from, you know, 45 to 65 or 20 to 35. This is a very large range. So, you can see there's a lot of ways you can go with incorporating protein into your diet. So protein is necessary to build and maintain muscle, bones, and skin. And our bodies break down protein from the diet and use the amino acids to build other necessary proteins that will work throughout the body. So you're not going to store protein as it does carbs and fats. So it is important to consume protein daily. And then proteins are like carbs when it comes to counting them in your caloric intake, so it's going to be 4 calories per gram. So like I said, the building blocks of proteins, amino acids are categorized into essential, non-essential, and conditional. Essential amino acids must be consumed as they are not made by the body. So you're going to have to be consuming these regularly to maintain health throughout your entire body. Non-essential amino acids are made by the body. So you know, you don't really have to be consuming them. Your body's going to make them out of the proteins that you're consuming.
It's a building block of protein. I remember that.
I'm glad you remember that. And conditional amino acids are necessary during times of stress and illness. So good sources of protein include meats, poultry, fish, eggs, and dairy. And then also you have your plant sources such as soy, legumes, nuts, and certain grains.
Do you have any questions about anything? I think I've been asking them,
popping
in my head.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And obviously there is a lot more information that, you know, you can go into. You could dive into a ton of different things.
Oh, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So when, like, people, like, fitness accounts or whatever and stuff, and they're, like, talking about, like, counting their macros, do they use, like, these, like, numbers and stuff? Just, like, watch, like, what they're hitting for the day? Is what this is, or is that different?
Yeah, no, they'll use the 4 calories per gram for protein and carbs, and then the 9 calories per gram of fat.
And they're trying to hit it, like, and not go over it, or...
Yeah.
Or it's person to person, too.
It's definitely person to person, because you'll have people who, again, are doing, like, the low-fat diets, or they're doing the low-carb diets, so their sources, like, their ranges may be different from the ones that we suggest. And, you know, as I stated before, you know, you have people who are going for different things, who are trying to build up muscle, or they're trying to lose fat, and they may be trying to incorporate a different style of diet into that to try and fix that. But yeah, overall, they should be using, like, the 4 grams of carbs, 4 grams of protein, and 9 grams of fat.
Okay.
to kind of like figure that out. I mean, a lot of times they're probably also using an app. Like MyFitnessPal is pretty good about giving you like your ranges for the day. Huh?
Not podcast appropriate.
Okay. So, you know, you could use different calorie tracking apps for stuff like that. And I think a lot of those you can customize also to kind of figure out what ranges you need. So, but I will be posting all of my sources in the show notes. I'm also going to be putting them hopefully in AMA citation because that's what you're going to use as a dietitian. At least that's what I have used all throughout college. And a lot of people don't know what that is. So, you know, you can look at that and see what that looks like. Secret?
It was just APA in high, like in college and stuff. I learned MLA in high school like everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
I only used MLA all through college.
I have not used MLA in college a single bit because they push AMA on us so hard.
I just said no.
Oh. If I said no, I got counted off on a paper and I can't afford that. So. But hopefully that was, you know, that really just covered the surface of a lot of this. And throughout this podcast, I will be going in depth on different diseases and life cycle stages and needs for those. So we will be coming back to kind of these building blocks as macros, and you'll be hearing this over and over and over again. So it's really good for us to touch base on what they are, just so you know, what we're talking about going forward. But that's all I have for today.
I'm going to go eat my burger for supper still.
Everything is good in moderation. That is what we preach. If your body is craving something, please, please do not just like constantly deny it and deny it, because eventually you're going to end up binging, and then you're going to, your body's going to feel like trash because you just binged on something you could have just had in moderation.
Another good topic for another podcast in the future.
Probably going to talk about it in fad diets. Yep, so
I'm craving a cheeseburger, so I'm going to go eat one. Y'all have a great rest of whatever time of day it is for you.
And I hope that you guys come back and listen to our next one about micros. So have a good evening, day, everything else.
Bye.
Bye.